So thank you all for coming back to the next installment of Harav, the Rav, and the Rebbe. So after our general introduction, I figured we'd do something relevant for the beginning of Yoma, and then after Sukkos, we'll go on and continue in talking about more general topics. So one topic about tshuva, which all three of them relate to, and as we'll see, they relate to in slightly different ways, which I think also is sort of paradigmatic of their general philosophies, is the emotional side of tshuva. If you go through some of the Svarim and the Rishonim, the impression you get is that tshuva is a very, very heavy, it's a heavy emotional process. Just one source out of many is Mishari Tshuva Sha'alav Osu Be'ezin Yigimel. One of his halakim of tshuva is Hayagom. Yishtonim Kil Yosa V'yachshov Kamaraba Ra'as Mishahim Raz Yotro. You have to be in sorrow almost. You have to feel the bitterness of tshuva. V'yangdil Yagom Bo'vavo V'sar V'scholo B'rayonav. You have to sigh based on the bitterness of your heart. Then in Osu Gimel, he says, if he goes to Hamriyos Fautsem Hayagon, the more bitterness you feel, the more sorrow you feel, the more of this, I guess, so to speak, negative or heavy emotion you feel, that itself corresponds to a better form of tshuva. All Rav Soloveitchik, and again, this is in the Rambam also, the Rambam in Perek Beis talks about the darkness of us to walk around with Bechi, and I think he also uses the Lashon HaMeriros. So both Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Kook, and the Baba Trevi relate to this emotion, and we'll see, they do it in slightly different ways. For the Rav, this is a major part of tshuva. In Halacha Command, in his section of tshuva on Halacha Command, he doesn't talk about it so much, but in his drashos in Al Tshuva, it's something which comes up over and over and over again. And the Rav, he halachasized it. We're going to see that the yagon, the merivers of tshuva, has a halachic status to it, and it's an important part of the kapara process. So, Al Tshuva, on page 63, he's talking about the vidui of the Kohen Gadol. The vidui of the Kohen Gadol itself, according to the Medrash, is machaper just as a carbon. So, if you look at the last word in the first line, he says, Vashailahid. The question is, Hamnam yachol hu l'shuv v'akol Yisrael? Could the Kohen Gadol do tshuva for all of Yisrael? The vidoy of the Kohen Gadol itself has a halacha of a karban. But then he starts saying that what about vidoy gives it a din of a karban? It's not the statement itself, it's the heartache. Yisuri nefesh, the internal torment that you have when you actually see vidoy for real, that creates the status of a karban. Then the Rav goes on with beautiful imagery. There's somebody who knows, without a doubt, he sinned and he missed the mark of his life. He betrayed all of his values. He knows, but he just can't say it. Whoever says this should get stabbed. That's what the Gemara says when Rabbi passed away. He thinks about it in his bed at night. Internally, he's crying. But he's a happy-go-lucky type of person on the outside. In order to hide this truth that's piercing him on the inside, he just continues to sin because he can't face the truth. Next paragraph. What forces him to face the truth about himself? Vidui, articulating it, stating it, forces you to recognize the facts of your life. It's tormenting. Yisurim atzumim, but that forces you to relate to the facts. To express with clarity the truth as it is. This internal torment has the status of a karban that's machaber. The process of breaking yourself, the process of causing yourself pain, is itself a machaber. It's embarrassing. To steer truth in its face, to break the mechanism of self-defense. To break down the artificial barriers. You go against the nature, internal nature of a person, which tells you to go hide. To rip off the screen, the mask. to actually articulate what you knew always as the inner truth. So the Rav takes this idea of meriros, of internal torment of tshuva, he plays it up, and he says that itself is part of the mechaper, it has the status of a karban. Al tshuva also, later on in Al tshuva, he's talking about tefillah as a mechaper. He says exactly the same thing. He quotes a couple of tefillos that we have, Hashem, please accept our tefillah as a karban. If you look at the second to last word in the first line, it says, Kan ba lebitua hazehut shevin tanya to tefillah. So in this tefillah, which he quoted from the Ilah, we see the identity between Tanis and Tefillah. At the Berem Kalar Marim, it's Tefillah Zavid, Tikon Tefillah Sti Kataros of Anacha, Matas Kapai Menachas Arev. That our Tefillah should have the status of a carbon. Why is Tefillah Bemakom carbon? It's saying any number of things. Look at what the Rav says. A Tefillah Ba'a Bemakom Karban Oth, B'Shem Shi'i Apshar Lo, Tefillah Bekavana, Shlo Te Kucha, B'Yusiroi Nefesh Amokem. Tefillah has the din of a carbon, because proper Tefillah cannot be executed without internal torment. He quotes Chabad sources, or Rabbi Hansaya, the Mitzvah Rabbi, Milabavich. Tefillah is an internal torment. Karbanos are about internal torment. Vidoy and Shuva are a process of internal torment. And that itself is the Machaber. And we'll see this theme comes up over and over and over again in the Rav, that religion is hard. It's rewarding, it's enriching, it's something at the end of the day we come close to Hashem. The process is something which is hard. It's something we'll probably be looking at inside at some point in the essay, Al Ava Zatorah, Gulat Nefesh Ador, which is an essay in the back of the book, Besar Yachad V'Yichud, which Rav Lichtenstein said is probably the best encapsulation of the basic themes of the Rav's thought. Basically, the story is that somebody wrote an article about the Rav, a newspaper article. Somebody else read it and thought that the guy who wrote the article was off on a couple of points. He wrote a letter to the Rav asking him what he really said, and the Rav expounded what he really meant to say in that initial interview. He covers several topics, and Rav Lichtenstein said it's the best encapsulation, quick encapsulation of the basic themes of the Rav's thought. There he says, "Ma'aseh dati u'ma'aseh sevelu." Religious act is an act of suffering. It's hard, and we're going to see that. But the process of going through the harshness, going through the internal torment, is enriching, it's invigorating, and it's cathartic in the end of the day. Yeah.
Sorry. Forgive me if this is a bit off topic, which is fine. But what about the religious acts more torturous than just like human experience?
Because I think if I understand correctly is that the Rav says that sometimes God forces you to go against your nature. Regular human experience that you can do whatever you want within certain limitations. But it's a religious act which forces you to recoil. That's the language he uses in the essay Catharsis. So you want to do something. Halakha tells you to go in a certain direction, then forces you to stop, forces you to recoil, and then tells you to go forward again. It's that recoil which creates self-mastery, which is the point of the torment. And that's exactly what he's talking about over here. So naturally, a person would just hide. You don't have to face your own faults. Tshuva forces you to articulate to yourself what your own faults are.
What was that?
The first one? I think it's called Al Ava Zatorah Ugu'ulat Nefesh Ador. It's in Hebrew. I don't think it's ever been fully translated.
That's the best encapsulation.
Rav Lichtenstein, in an article, translates a couple paragraphs of it, and he says he thinks it's the best encapsulation of the basic themes of the Rav's thought. Because the Rav probably covered a lot of ground in the initial interview. I never read the initial interview, and this guy was asking questions about it, so he goes off and talks about what he thinks is important about religious life in America in the 20th century. As you might imagine, Rav Kook doesn't play up this element of tshuva as much. Rav Kook definitely has places where he talks about the tsar of tshuva. Parakhas in Arot HaTshuva is entitled Machovei Yisurei Tshuva, or something of that sort. Just look at source number 4 for a second. Arot HaTshuva Chesiod. Rav Kook says, Hatsar Pinimishal Tshuva, the inner pain of tshuva, V'chomer Gadol M'shore HaYagon Ha'irot Kinaram. It's great material for those people who like singing about tragedies to arouse their hearts. And there are people and the artists of tragedy to reveal their talents. There's a lot of inner pain that goes on in the tshuva process. But Rav Kook, almost every piece where he talks about this inner pain, counterbalances it with a greater emotion, which always has to exist in the tshuva process as well. So let's look at a couple of sources together. Source number 5, or the tshuva cheskas. It says, when the spiritual pain, of the spiritual pain that one has about the status of his spiritual life, which is the pain of tshuva, v'shel olam kulo, and the spiritual state of the entire world, gadol ad me'od, it becomes so great, akadeis timasam shel mekorot asher l'rayonot, until it closes up, this pain is so great, that it closes up the pathways for thoughts, v'diburim tzvila l'tzaka, l'argasha v'shira. You can't actually articulate yourself, you can't learn, you can't daven, you can't do anything because the pain of your spiritual state, which he calls the ke'ev ha'tshuva, is so great. Once you reach that state, then you're elevated with jumps to reveal lights full of life. From the source of silence. Those who are thirsty are going to eventually find water. So there is pain there, but know that in the end, the process is going to be one which is filled with joy. Rav Kook says, Rav Kook says in a different piece, the very pain you feel while you're doing tshuva itself should be a source of simcha. This is he says in a couple of different places, a couple of different ways in Avot HaTshuva. This is the shortest one. He says, Ha'yosha ba b'toch ha'lev, hu be'atzmo morah al mardut p'nimis adina. The hopelessness which you feel sometimes when you're faced with your own failings itself teaches on a little bit of a slight spiritual rebellion going on inside you. That stems from the higher recognition of morality and of holiness. Therefore, the very fact you're feeling hopeless about your spiritual state should give you chizuk. Shelo yifachet, that you shouldn't be scared. V'yashov minkochet v'tshuva malayash shalvav omet ruach. You should be able to do tshuva from every sin. The very fact that you feel hopeless, the very fact you feel pain over your spiritual state, for Rav Kook, should be a source of chizuk, should be a source of gaining confidence. Because if you didn't care, if you weren't a spiritual person, if you weren't somebody who cared about spirituality, if you didn't have this hakara al yonah, this higher recognition of kedusha and of musar, then you wouldn't feel this hopelessness. You wouldn't feel the pain in the first place. So the very fact you're going through the process and feeling the pain should itself be a source of chizuk and should itself be a source of simcha. But yes, deep down, there's something there that really cares. And if there's something there that deep down really cares, there's hope for me to be able to do tshuva. There's hope for me to regain my spiritual footing. But even a piece like that is sort of almost one of the darker pieces in Avot HaTshuva. If people have gone through Avot HaTshuva, the emotions surrounding tshuva are simcha and osher. Let's look at source number 7, where he puts these two things together. It says, "In the sha'er v'in harech es tegulat ha'osher, she'tzarach adam chosh ba'atzmo." You can't estimate, can't evaluate the greatness of happiness that a person has to feel. You can't estimate the joy of tshuva, which comes upon you at the same time as you feel that slight, subtle feeling of pain when the wave of tshuva blows on you. At a time when you feel regret over all of your sins, a time when your shema desires become close to Hashem, the time when you would desire to come close to Hashem and therefore feel regret over your sins, the time of great, great simcha. Even though you're not sure how practically to do it, even though you don't know exactly how to fix all of our mistakes in the past, even though practically you don't know the path to take, and it's filled with stumbling blocks, the desire itself to do good, the desire itself to do tshuva, is itself the Ruach Hashem that exists in Gan Eden. That blows through the neshama and fills it up with endless happiness. Even that pain which you feel when you feel regret over what you did, is transformed into a feeling of simcha. And this is one of the major themes in Arata Teshuva, and you can just see it, I guess sociologically, by comparing memoirs of people, what yeshiva was like in Elul back in Europe, and what Elul was like in some of the Rav Kook places. The entire avira is very different. It's not a light avira in Merkaz Rav. It's not an avira of frivolity. But in Gimel Elul, at Rav Kook's Rav sites, there's a big chumzitz, and with filled with singing and dancing, and ultimately fast dancing, by Rav Kook's Keber. And the reason is because tshuva has to be accompanied with these feelings of simcha and osher, that yes, I'm able to return to Hashem. Yes, there's a part of me that actually cares about Avodas Hashem. There's a part of me that's being revealed now that wasn't revealed in the past, and that's something which creates a great level of simcha.
Did you, the time you spent in Merkaz, was that Elul?
It was not there for Elul.
It was
over Kites. So I don't know exactly what goes on, but my sense would be that when I teach this in the Rav Kook class, I give a memoir of somebody what Elul was like in Radin, and then I play a clip of what Gimel Elul was like, the Bayer of Cook's Hammer. And obviously it's a dramatized dichotomy. I'm picking out the sources.
We're not getting the full IBC experience.
I'm sorry. I try to always have clips for IBC classes. I think it's good.
Yeah.
But
FOMO. Could you use more clips?
Yes. If you want, I can play Rebbe clips instead of reading things to Rebbe. But that's the general avira of Kook has. And the reason for this shift is source number 8, is a major fundamental yisod in tshuva for a Kook, which is not a major chiddush. He says that tshuva b'yisodah yitzinuot l'shuva l'makoriyot. What is tshuva? It's returning to oneself. Suppose there's a book of Salvation who says human being is half-half, half good, half bad. He says this in Lachat Man. A human being is not made to be fundamentally good. We believe Yitzhar Lev Adam Rami Yorav, a person is born with the Yitzhara, and there's always going to be a fight between the Yitzhara and the Yitzhara, and people always have two paths in front of them. Either become great tzaddikim or become Nietzsche's Ubermenschen, and it's the job of a person to purge out their negative aspects and recreate themselves in a better fashion. And that's why he puts in Halachic Man, Rav Soloveitchik puts tshuva in the chapter, in a section about the Halachic Man's creative capacity. Because tshuva is one of the best examples of self-creation in a thought of Rabbi Soloveitchik. For a Kook, it's not about self-creation. It's about revealing what's already there. It's about getting in touch with your true inner self. So while purging parts of you and recreating yourself is going to be a process that's accompanied with major, major torment, for a Kook, getting in touch with your inner self is going to cause a lot of simcha, because you're just expressing your own authenticity. And for a Kook, it's not just yourself, it's the entire world. It's really moving in a certain direction. And this is one of the major kiddushim in Arata Teshuva, that tshuva is not just the individual person who's sinning. Tshuva, in its real sense, means the entire process of everything in the world moving from point A of creation to point X, which is the utopian era of Yomos Mashiach, and everything is always moving in that direction. And the individual's tshuva is just jumping back on the bandwagon. All of creation is moving in a certain direction. You were born also to move in a certain direction. You stepped off that trajectory when you sinned. Personal tshuva is just jumping on the bandwagon again. So that process of getting in touch with yourself, getting in touch with the rest of the cosmos, is going to be a process that's accompanied with simcha, as opposed to just tsar and just yagum. Great. So that's the Rav and Rav Kook. The Lubavitcher Rebbe takes a very extreme position on this point. We already saw that the Rav quotes from the Alter Rebbe and from the Medler Rebbe that they have this concept of meriros in tshuva, bitterness in tshuva, feeling that you have such a holy soul, and yet you failed your holy soul over and over and over again. If you go through Igaros HaTshuva in Tanya, in the back of Tanya, he there talks about two types of tshuva. He talks about tshuva tata, lower tshuva, and tshuva alyona. Tshuva tata is basically what we associate with tshuva, which is fixing your sins, which he describes, he uses the word meriros when he's describing that process. Tshuva ila is just dvekos. It sounds like once you got rid of all of your sins, then you have the ability, even if you're a tzaddik gemor, to be able to just fully be mizdabek b'kadosh baruch hu. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe, in a maimar given a Tafshin Mem Vav, 1986, It's a longer maimar about tshuva. That's about why tshuva is connected to ma'asim tovim. The Gemara says taklas tshuva, taklas chachma, tshuva ma'asim tovim. So what exactly does that mean? Why focus on tshuva? Why focus on ma'asim tovim? So that's what the Lubavitcher Rebbe is really trying to explain. But in the context of that piece, he says the following very, very startling things. So look at the second page, at the top line. He says, I think he's referring to Rebbe he's quoting. He's quoting a maimor from previous Rebbe. Tshuva is found with your average simple person who's not necessarily so knowledgeable or so sophisticated. And they're the ones who have a higher level of tshuva. And they cry bitterly. We find such balabatim in our shuls. They're saying tehillim, and they're crying, even though they're not so sophisticated. Amnon, inan hamrira shebetshuva, eno shayich bedurenu zeha acharon. But the concept of bitterness in tshuva, of feeling the bitterness, feeling the yagon, feeling the tsar, is not relevant for the last generation, for our generation. Dara et ikvasa te meshiva. Kiven shebedurenu eno komach inan hamriras. Why is the mariras not relevant for our generation? Reason number one, yuridas adoros. We can't handle it anymore. We need to be softer on ourselves. We can't be as harsh with ourselves as they were in previous generations. The Rebbe believed in yuridas adoros to the nth degree. What we're going to see is always going to be a flip. There's always going to be a caveat at the end. The earlier generations were able to be harsh with themselves, cry bitterly over their state. We can no longer handle that. But again, this chazkos is oros yisira. We always need chizuk. We always need to be inspired. Therefore, in our generation, tshuva has to be only through simcha. And that which people used to say tehillim, the wave nishbar, that was their form of tshuva. Something which is a print from my father-in-law. Right, takshov tov tiyatov. If you're familiar with the Udi Dvidi version as opposed to the Chabad version, it's a line from Chabad. Takshov tov tiyatov, meaning bitachon, think good, it's going to be good. I know shamakshava open shel tov he atzma mevia ima azetov. It's something the Baba Rabbi believed 100%. Thinking about good things, thinking about good results, is going to have a real life effect on reality. It's going to create a good result. The insarach leos call in yeshal meriros. Now that we know takshov tov tiyatov, we don't need that bitterness anymore. Think I want to do better, it's going to get you there even without that element of Berurus. So number one, you read as a Darus. Number two, it's been revealed to us, Takshov Tov Tiyatov, and we could just have to think about being good, that's going to get us there without the Berurus. Skip down a little bit. He says something fascinating, which he doesn't really focus on elsewhere. This is a little bit further on in the Maimar, the middle of the line. It says in the second paragraph, the lower level of tshuva, which almost everybody has to engage in, is tshuva mitok miriros. Tshuva mitok simcha is a tshuva ila. It sounds like in the Geras of tshuva ila is really just for tzaddikim. The Lubavitcher Rebbe emphasized over and over and over again in his talks about tshuva, tshuva ila is for the average Jew in our generation. We're post-Holocaust. We went through the worst suffering of any generation possible. And therefore, the Yisurim, the Meriros that we have to experience in our Tshuva, we already experience. Now, the Dor Acharon, we finally reached the level of Tshuva Yilah for the average Jew, just Tshuva Mitok Simcha. Great. So that's what he says in his Maimar about Tshuva. But if you go on Chabad.org and you look at the English translation of this Maimar, they preface it and they put an appendix with the notion of Simcha in general and the Babish Rebbe's thought. Chassidus obviously is very into Simcha. The Babish Rebbe was particularly into Simcha, connecting it also with Dor Ikvasa Meshicha. Simcha is a way to bring Mashiach. One of the ways to bring Mashiach in the Lubavitcher Rebbe's thought. Towards the end of his life, he was wondering. He has gave several sifos, the Kfar Kol HaKol HaKitzen, that everything we should have done to bring Mashiach, we already did. Why is Mashiach not here yet? And he came up with different ideas, different things to work on. One of the first things he said during that tekufa, Tapshin Memches, Shnas Tismach, being happy, that we could bring Mashiach through the Avodah of Simcha. You look on the next page, we'll conclude with this. O Zion. The first six osios of the Sikha are wondering, why is Mashiach not come yet? Everything we needed to do has been done already. Because the Bishvil Dhabi is a Mashiach. Simcha is what's going to bring Mashiach. No Sakakol and the Kaksha Simcha Pareto is called Gedarim, Gam Gidri HaGalos. Something which has a deep root in the Chabad, Simcha Pareto is Gader. Simcha always causes expansion. And we'll be discussing this later, at some point later on in the year. It's the ultimate expansion, the ultimate Pritzas Gader, the ultimate expansion of Hashem into this world, which is going to happen during time period of Mashiach, is brought through Simcha. So in the Baba Shabbi thought, again, for opposite reasons. One reason is Yiridus Laros, we can't deal with it anymore. Another reason is because the Holocaust happened. We already had all the Yisurim. But the other reason is that the Avodah of our generation is to bring Mashiach. And Mashiach is associated dafka with the Avodah of Simcha as opposed to the Avodah of Merirus. So you really see three different people on different points in the continuum about this notion of Merirus versus Simcha in the process of Tshuva. Everybody agrees Tshuva requires what the Rambam says. Everybody agrees Tshuva requires Charatza and Kabbalah Lased. Question is, what emotion should be accompanying a Tshuva? The Rav, traditional, reading the sources, playing up the love, the fact of the sable, the Yisurim of Tshuva, putting it in a halacha category, it's a machaper, it's a din of a karban, and then there's a general theme in this thought that religion is hard, and it's hard work, and we have to submit our will to the will of Hashem. Rav Kook has the notion of tsar, but moves more in the direction of simcha, the osher of Tshuva, because Tshuva is about returning to your authentic self, which is an idea which only gets revealed in later generations, not just the authentic self of the individual, the authentic self of the entire world, which is moving in a certain direction. And then the Lubavitcher Rebbe is the most extreme, as we're going to say, he's often going to be the most extreme, that the whole Avodah of Tshuva ben Merirus was for previous generations. Our generation is different for various reasons, and our Tshuva has to be done mitok simcha alam. Thank you very much. I hope everybody, including myself, is able to do some tshuva before Rosh Hashanah.